in the name of Jesus.
When we were thinking toward getting married, my wife and I agreed that we really could skip the bit about for richer. She was then earning more in a month than my salary would be for a whole year. Clearly, for richer did not apply to us. So then, following that line of thinking, we may skip all of chapter 6, where it deals with the problems which rich people have. There is also a fair bit about heresy, but that it's always somebody else who does that. If that also is not spoken to us, what is? Well, what's that applies to every Christian? But in the pastoral epistles, we have lots that speaks directly to pastors, and first off, to Pastor Timothy. So for us at Concordia Seminary, what's in chapter 6 for pastors? And for those whom the Lord, in his unfathomable generosity and folly, may someday make into pastors. The piece that is left sticking out is verses 11 to 16, which you wouldn't miss at all if verse 17 followed right after verse 10. A chunk which doesn't connect with what goes before nor with what comes after, and it's a different sort of language. Now that's the sort of thing you'd better not try to get away with at this seminary, as when you've got a humdinger of a paragraph in your computer which you haven't been able to work in so far, and your paper is still a bit short of what's expected, and so you plunk it in. The poor old apostle didn't have all the advantages of studying at Concordia Seminary. And so there's nothing for it but us to just take what he gives and be grateful for it. In the apostolic church, what goes is apostolic doctrine, and so also apostolic ministry. Actually, this piece doesn't seem to be the apostle's own stuff. It sounds as though he's quoting some liturgy again. What liturgy? Baptism? Ordination? Either or both? Well, what does it say? That it is the Lord who is saying and doing is clear from parangelo, here translated charge. This is a verb that in the Gospels belongs only to Jesus when he's talking like he's the Lord God himself. When the apostle uses it, he expects what he is saying to be received as spoken from the Lord himself. Paratheke, paradisis, entele, as in by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, instead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God, in accordance with the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. Divine passive, first person singular. Timothy is second person singular when the apostle lays his parangelo charge on Timothy, after having spoken of them, third person, the rich and the false teachers, the one speaking, the one spoken to, after those spoken about, not to be muddled. See, De, but as for you, who's you? Man of God. Now that sounds like something that could be said of every Christian, but it is not used that way. From the Septuagint, it is used of prophets, those who speak out the words which the Lord has given them to speak. Ish ha Elohim. Such were Elijah and Elisha, whom we met again in the hymn a few minutes ago. The apostle names Timothy one such. And then what goes along with one such in the life of faith to life eternal, to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. no doubt that we're in the liturgy, and even more surely so when next comes in the presence of God. And then what is confessed evokes holy baptism. It's the baptismal creed that Pontius Pilate comes to have his place. Date and place, it happened. Talk confession, talk Jesus. At his baptism, he was given his Ebed Yahweh work to do. With that confession, Jesus' life was laid on the line. It cost him his life. He did it. What he proclaimed that he did, what he was sent to do. He, Jesus, the apostle of our confession, Hebrews 3:1. He made Paul an apostle, who put Timothy into the apostolic ministry. And so the apostle evokes for Timothy what strengthening may be his from his baptism, then also what strengthening may be his from his ordination, when he was put into the same apostolic office and given to do what that office is put there for. Entole, Amtsauftrag, commission, mandate. In the Reformed tradition of English, commandment. This he is to be sure not to lose, but cherish, treasure, hold it precious, sacred, teresai, shamar. As in the words of institution of the holy ministry, terein panta hosa en etai lamein himin, entrusted to you. Second person plural, 11 of them. In the chapter, our chapter, it's Timothy. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. It is to this entole that the apostle references the junior pastor. He is referenced outside himself from the Lord. That holds no matter what. The unstained and free from reproach is said from with it's said about what's with the holy ministry and not of the man that's there as its instrument. Luther confessed that the Holy Spirit may leave the man, but not the office. There's some law in that for you, and some gospel. Particularly for them, third person, those who hear the gospel preached by the Predigtamt. Augsburg Confession, Article 5, gets it right. Timothy needed to hear that. From what the apostle says to Timothy, we might suspect that there was something a bit timid about Timothy. The apostle does not reproach him for this. Heaven preserve us from its opposite, which sometimes goes under management terms such as leadership potential or impact of dynamic personality. Jesus spoke of having servants, shepherds, and a shepherd is only worth how much good he is for the sheep in the way of the chief shepherd, feeding and guarding, as we prayed last week. Watching out for their good. Shepherd's staff, not club. We are told that Timothy was clubbed and stoned to death, and so a palm branch too. For all this, the pastoral epistles are an inexhaustible resource. In the years ahead when things go badly, have a season of refreshment and work on the exegesis of the pastoral epistles. That will free you up for every good work. When baptized and ordained, you are who the Lord has said and made you. That is dominically sure. And he hasn't finished with you yet. So the apostle winds up with the swing through some more liturgy. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this will be made manifest at the proper time by the blessed and only Sovereign, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. But hang on a bit. There are still those money bags who are playing cock of the roost in the church, and without whom the budget will be shot. And 5 years not self-supporting and you're out. They also need to hear the pastor tell them our Lord's words, which they need to hear. And then there's the arrogance of the know-it-alls, who can talk such a load of highfalutin religious nonsense, religiosity. However, nevertheless, finally, at the end of the day, at the end of the chapter, it's the faith that holds. Not Anarthra's faith, thought of as something in you, as in, you got faith, sometimes I seem to, sometimes I don't, but I do have a savior. As Dr. Luther confessed, on the arms of the Virgin and the cross and upon the altar. The altar is a good place to do the doctrine of the office of the Holy Ministry. To sum up then, finally, verse 11 addresses Timothy as clergy, man of God. There follow things which could also be said of holy baptism. Referenced to God, who gives life to all things, and Christ Jesus, who preached and confessed and was accordingly crucified under Pontius Pilate. Verse 14 following evoke holy ordination. Timothy is resourced by them both. To muddle them together is to diminish the Lord's gifts, as when one is swallowed up by the other. Every Christian, a minister, baptism equals ordination. Or clergy and laity are played off against each other. Clergy the whole cheese, laity the whole cheese. Check the small catechism's table of duties. There's holy baptism and there's holy ordination. The Lord does them both. Both are specific aorist events with a where and a when. Before many witnesses and in the presence of God. And both are unique. Each has its proprium. You can be baptized and not ordained, but you cannot be ordained and not baptized. They are to be received each for the particular gifts it bestows. The pastoral epistles are written to those both baptized and ordained. As a pastor, you won't make it without both. As AC 14 was put in to counter X accusation that there were laymen among us acting dubiously as if they were pastors. The Lord does not ordain a man to puff him up. The Lord puts him there as a delivery point for giving out his gifts, the Lord's gifts, not that man's hot shotteries. The last admonition at the end of the chapter is not to get deflected away from what the Lord has put him there for, there for the giving out of. The charisma is with the entelae. Amts charisma is located in the Amts Auftrag. Get deflected from that and you're just beating the air, burning out, which can make an impressive bright burst for a bit before sputtering out. And finally, we may recognize as transition to Holy Communion at the end, the grace with you. In the West, that the Lord is doing it is confessed with Dominus Vobiscum. Early in the East, it's liturgy, as at the end of our chapter, it's the gift he's present to bestow, the grace with you, Heicharis meth himon. And always, until it recently was changed, the response, and with your spirit. The spirit is reference to ordination. No ordination without the spirit's gift. Where the Lord's words are going in, there the spirit is going in by the Lord's mandate. Thus it is with one called man of God. Ish ha Elohim. So here today at Concordia Seminary, so richly gifted for preaching, with Hebrew and Greek and a smattering of Latin and German, in the chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus, on chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. From that, rejoice to receive what is given to clergy and apprentice clergy. And all that, not for ourselves, but for giving on what is entrusted. Divine passive. With holy ordination, then, making it clear that what is given is from the Lord, is his giving as he mandated. And there's joy in that for you in the singular at your ordination, and the for you in the plural, which the Lord has use of your mouth for his speaking of. Dominus tecum, Dominus vobiscum. Heicharis, charis meta su, meth himon. And finally, there's another variant reading at the end, which adds, Amen. True gift received. After such unfathomable double generosity of gifts, couldn't not, can't not say, Amen.